Hello, hello, and welcome back to the A Show with the Kings of Pro Wrestling Podcast. I am Justin, here with Meals. What's up, Meals?
I have a couple things I want to get off my chest. Not like get off my chest. All right, they're not like grievances or anything. Couple things I've wanted to talk about the past couple weeks, and it always goes past my brain. First things first, what is TikTok currently recommending that you buy? Because it's been recommending me some shit lately.
RX Bar, Jack in the Box, like a bunch of like crypto loan stuff. The debt calculator is like a Mint, like apps they're like nigga, you just making too much.
So they're not recommending you 15-day cleanses?
Yes, but not as much as those, no.
Okay, because I got the 15-day cleanse for like maybe like 2 weeks. I've been meaning to talk about this for like multiple weeks on this show. For like every time, and I'm pretty sure now that I'm talking about it, I'm going to open the app and there it's going to be again. But it's been recommending me 15-day pill cleanses for like 2-3 weeks. And then I almost caved and I almost bought it, right? And then I'm listening to my niece is like, why would you buy that from TikTok? like out of all the places, shout out to her 15-year-old wiseness. She was like, and so why are you getting this from TikTok? Like, I was like, I don't know. Everyone else is talking about it, but I know that everyone else is being paid some sort of a thing to talk about. This is why the government's trying to shut this shit down.
Well, how do you feel about the TikTok shutdown?
I see both sides. I see that there's some issues that TikTok definitely needs to repair regarding security and stuff like that. And then also kind of just like, it's still for 2024, TikTok is still really the Wild Wild West. Like, it really is. Like, most apps have some sort of checks and balances in terms of like, you can post these things, you can't post these things, or like you'll see these things, but you won't see these things. TikTok is still like, it can show up anytime at any moment. But I can't imagine my life now without TikTok. So I would be pretty upset if it was banned. I feel like they're gonna
fuck with it to a point where it's gonna, I don't think it's gonna go away.
Did you hear what Trump said about it?
No. This is what we see.
Hold on. No. My mom's favorite thing is to call me and tell me what Trump said.
In a good way or a bad way? No, it's a bad way.
Like, this nigga's an idiot.
You never know now. They're trying to double down. I think that, like, I feel this is political, hashtag political talk. I feel like
here's the thing. I wanted to get into a political question too, so I'm glad we're getting into this.
Here's what I think, and it's really disappointing to see so many people fall into it, but I think that he's pretty much what they found last time, right, in 2020, was that there was an abnormal amount of black males and Latino males that voted for him. It was all black women and Latinas who voted against him, basically.
Right.
So he's pretty much said, you know what, fuck the old people this time, and fuck the white people, because they've already fallen out of favor largely with me too, right? Mm-hmm. And so he's pretty much said, oh, I'm gonna just go for niggas now. And
go for the blacks.
Exactly. And the thing about it is that, like, people are falling for it, one, yes, which is really disappointing. But also, do we not realize that we're the minority of a minority of voters anyway? So if he is banking on that to help him win, then I don't think that is a smart strategy. But it seems to be like that's kind of what he's going for, is trying to hang with niggas. Like, I feel like Biden's pretty much got the old vote wrapped up. That's, to me, is how that's gonna shake out. But yeah, sorry, that's my thoughts on everything right now.
No, all right, so first of all, I want to give two things. That's like a sub A. I still got another topic, but it is what it is. Donald Trump said there are a lot of young kids on TikTok who will go crazy without it. The thing I don't like is that without TikTok, you can make Facebook bigger, and I consider Facebook to be an enemy of the people.
here's the thing, the same Facebook that got him elected in 2016.
Exactly. Second part of this thing is that also my mom will call me. My mom called me on Saturday, and I was in, even though I'm in a Starbucks strike, I was in Starbucks working on Saturday. And she called me and was like, did you hear Joe Biden's state of the address? And I was like, no, why the fuck would I do that? And she was like, oh my God, he was getting at people who call him old and all these other things. I was like, Mom, what are you saying? Like, I don't care. Like, he still owes me money from the, she's like, no, but I'm sure they'll take away your loans. My mom thinks every time someone's loans get absorbed, she calls me. She's like, did your loans get
no, there's millions, no. There's millions of people that
no, it's not for me. In fact, the ones who get their loans taken away are the old people.
I'm probably like, we last on the list, bruh.
We're like, last. We're not. Yeah. I have to either work for a state agency.
Here's the thing. Them niggas not getting their money anyway for me. So at the end of the day, yeah, my shit's got absolved as well.
I'm like, I don't work for a state agency. Not anymore.
I'm going to keep it a hundred. I'm keeping it a hundred. That shit ain't stopped me from getting no cars.
Amen.
That shit ain't stopped me from doing nothing. Because we know when niggas look at that shit, they say student loans. I'm going to be real. Just as an adult. A lot of people look at the student loan shit and be like, whatever. And they'll look over it. They think like credit card debt is probably a bigger like blow to you than loan debt is, or like having a judgment on a house or judgment on an apartment.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's like, if you don't pay your loans, can you buy a house? Like, if you don't pay your student loans, can you buy a house?
Yes. Yes, bro.
I'm sure there's some, listen, if there's some financial analyst who wants to talk with us.
Not on Twitter. Here's my thing. I must be doing something different. But it ain't stopped me from really doing nothing.
I must be doing something different. It's hilarious. Oh my God. All right.
Why do I gotta pay to go to school? That's the real issue.
This is true. Why did I have to take loans out to go to school?
Period.
All right. So actually, you got two of my questions out the way, because we was TikTok recommending by was my first one. And then 2024 election of what are we doing? What's the second one? I was like, what are we doing for this year? What is the plan? It's like, let's all figure this out all at the same time. So we all head in one direction. Even though both of our states, I don't think Biden really has anything to worry about.
Here's the thing that's scary about living in California is that, like, we're so insulated from a lot of this shit. Like, you guys still got Eric Adams, you know what I'm saying? But, like, we're so insulated from a lot of this shit because, like, effectively, as you said, like, our votes really don't matter because it's not going to shake out. Like, I keep telling people, like, I told Josh, I was like, at the very least, if you don't vote for this fucking orange motherfucker, if you don't vote for Biden, at the very least, there's things on our local ballot that fucking matter, like, that you care about, like gambling,
right?
And casino. Why don't you just vote for that?
Yeah,
you gotta take such a hardline issue on something that, like, ultimately you have no effect on at all.
My mail-in. Should I just apply for a mail-in ballot right now? Let me see.
Yeah, you good?
I might as well, because I don't really like going to the polls like that. It's too charged. Too many. I don't know if it's the same thing at your polling thing, but old people are in charge of my polling area and they never get everything right. And it's always end up some old people getting yelled at by some young. It's like, you don't know what the fuck you're doing. Y'all told me that this was my voting center and I'm at the wrong school. And then they pull it out and it's like, actually, this was your voting center all the time. It's a big thing. My second thing, right? This is real abstract, real out of nowhere, right? What are your thoughts on Justin Timberlake?
Cooked. He's done.
He's done, right? Like,
it's finished.
My thing is,
this nigga's on sneaker shopping, bruh. But I think we're far past the time that we need to glaze this nigga anymore, bruh. It's over.
I agree. So, like, of course, I love old Justin Timberlake music. But for maybe, like, the last decade, I've been like, I don't fully trust this nigga at all. Just the stories that I've heard, the things, the people that have been involved or, like, you know, essentially been, like, I don't want to say victims. It's not like he out here thinging people, but, like, the people that have suffered because of some of the decisions that he's made. It's just, like, generally, I don't trust his music decisions, like, his idea that he is an artist.
Remember when he did the Super Bowl a couple years ago?
And I do.
Them whack-ass Jordans that he helped co-create came out. It's like,
barely. They were like the Jordans, with JT on the side.
It was like the threes, but mixed with some shit. And I was like, this is just like his music. Just some watered down, washed up bullshit. This is his music, right? Am I watching?
No, you're not. But I feel like my problem with Justin Timberlake is that he thinks he's a deeper artist than he actually is. And it reminded me a lot of Dolph Ziggler for a while. Who wow. I felt like was, I know, right? Deep cut. Felt like he was a lot more of an important wrestler than he was. And I feel like I look at the decisions like, everything kind of like, I don't know, all of his albums make me look at a certain way. Like, the Justified album is mad, just old throwaway Michael Jackson shit that Michael Jackson didn't want and Prince didn't want. Future Sex Love Sounds just feels like a very, like, it's, I'll be a great album. Feels very, like, now in retrospect, feels so manufactured to me. I was like, when the fuck would you ever think of this? Suit and Tie, well, not Suit and Tie, that wasn't the album. 2020. That's what I'm saying. Like, what is that? Like, what is that?
Shut your ass up, dude.
And let's not, Man of the Woods was the most egregious, like.
Here's the thing, though. With music, there's always an artist that we were very easily sold to back in the day.
Right.
We were very easily
sold. I still like the songs. Don't get me wrong. Like,
that's fine. What? Yeah. Like, we were still easily sold to, in the sense that if you know, realistically, were watching MTV in that generation, you had a top five because they would just shove them down your throat every single fucking day, right? And Justin Timberlake happened to be. Remember that his split was just so magnanimous and huge, and this is the greatest. This could be the greatest thing ever for their careers, and they, you know, he left all his homeboys in the lurch.
Bro, hearing that he was recording his album while he was finishing up the end of the tour, it was like, fuck y'all niggas anyway.
Yeah, and stuff like that. But we were easily sold to, in the sense that, you know, we wanted to believe that the Justin Timberlake thing was as epic as it was. But if you go back to it,
we wanted to believe the cornrows.
A lot of it don't hit like it did. A lot of it don't hit like it did, bro.
His new album, he has a song with NSYNC, and I'm just like, it's never been more over than it has been right now. You have hated them niggas forever. Not hated, but erased them from the narrative of your artistry for a long time. For a long, long time. You would think his career started in 2002. But now, because everything is like whack, he looks older. It's like, not even like look older, but like physically looks like aged. He can't dance the same. His songs don't hit the same.
He looks old. He just looked like rough. But that probably come from cheating on his wife. So that's probably why he looked like that now.
He doing TikToks now with his wife.
Like all the dance. Remember when he was at the in DC?
I looked it up the other day.
What's going on? I said, this is shit y'all into?
I don't know. I've been side-eyeing Justin Timberlake for a long time because it just, like, there's just various parts about him that just don't feel authentic to me, even though the music will hit because there's a lot of great people creating the music. But, like, he's always, to me, especially in my adult years, been an artist who feels like he's more of an artist than he actually is.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember he made that diss song against Prince. And then went on the Super Bowl and performed a Prince song. And I was
That white boy was feeling himself.
And yeah. It was like, what's Prince going to do?
What are you going to do? Come alive, nigga?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Jeez. I'm like, bro, this is... I don't know. Justin, yeah, his new album coming out. I don't know what the fuck is going on, but that nigga's washed. Him on sneaker shop. The sneaker shopping clip is the funniest shit that I've ever seen because...
What are you doing that?
There's a part where JLP's asking him, like, do you remember this Jordan? And he's like, oh man, you tell me. And he's like, this is the Jordan you wore in the Bye 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 video. And even after JLP told him that, it's like he still didn't remember. No one truly cared. But it was like he was feigning. Like he was like, that's right. Oh my God. Yes, a comfortable shoe. Da-da-da-da. And I was like, bro, this nigga's so fake.
Nigga's a liar. That nigga's a liar. That nigga's a liar.
Whatever.
We was fooled, bruh. We was fooled, my nigga. Listen. We was fooled. That's just what it was. He was like, listen, him with the bandana wrapped around his head. Looking like rhinestones. Yeah. Jigging with Nelly. If you was my girlfriend, I treat you good. Yo,
what a jam. Fuck this nigga.
We was fooled, bro. I don't blame you, bro. I don't blame you or anyone for being fooled, yo. It's just the way that the cookie crumbled at that point.
You practically from Virginia. With the way
yep. Fuck this nigga Bills, bro. That's definitely not happening today. That ain't happening today. Let me tell you right now. That's not happening today.
Oh my God. All right.
No disrespect. Well, you know, I'm mad at Virginia because you know we be selling some bullshit too.
Mm.
We sell some bullshit too. I'm not gonna lie. Virginia sell some bullshit. I'm not lying. We saw some bullshit.
What's the last thing out of Virginia that you've really, really liked?
Musically?
Musically, yes.
Nothing. Like the ODB, remember when she asked ODB what he was doing for the community? He said, me? Nothing. That's my answer. That's my answer. Me? Nothing.
Oh my God. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you look and it's... You look at the Virginia, I Googled Virginia music artists from Virginia, and it's like no one that's really come out in the past like 20 years.
Come on, man. I'm supposed to be going up over Drum, or I'm sorry, Shelly. Don't let me be negative today, bro. I don't let me. I've already been blocking people on Twitter.
Let's talk about that.
We're mad about it.
Let's talk about that.
What did I do wrong? Here's my thing.
Let me start this thing off. First of all, in terms of from my vantage point, I loved it because I feel like you haven't really expressed your cold-hearted, like real raw opinion on Twitter in a long ass time.
Right.
So you make this statement. And I was watching, I was like, this is just like old Twitter again.
What did I do?
Saturday on Twitter, you expressed a tweet saying you don't like any of this rock shit at all.
No. You said
The Rock is ruining the build for Cody versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. He's fucking it up. His promos are corny. All these other stuff. You about to get a promo on Friday. I know that. He sent up his tripod for you on Friday.
And wouldn't we be so lucky? It's the last one that we get for the next 2 weeks. So I'm fine with that. Go ahead.
And you said, hold on. I'm trying to find your actual tweet.
I don't tweet much, so it's probably not that hard to find.
No, it's not that hard. But it's been a couple of days. Where are you at? Media literacy is out. Wow. You were good for you.
What did I say? What? Oh yeah, that was some for the media
literacy is at all time low.
That's for the Seth.
Because y'all, you responding to shit. That's why I had to scroll a couple times. Okay, I'm gonna keep it 100. Rock is ruining this Cody Roman 2 build. Roman feels like the third, low-key fourth wheel. Rock's promos are snoozeworthy. Like, there's no way people are going up for them. Then again, gotta remember the type of people he's doing it for.
You know, I gotta jab him a little bit.
Rock took 21 minutes repeating the match stipulation, low-key forgetting to add the Cody can't challenge against it, and repeated the emoji joke for like the 10th time. That's somebody's goat.
Not mine.
Like, damn, can we get the Cody Roman promos like last year? Those words were really effective and helped sell a match. So I didn't see anything wrong with this at all. Yeah. It's a clear opinion. It's something we've been expressing over the podcast for a number of weeks now, since probably before The Rock got involved. Before when The Rock was like threatening to get involved, we were like, no, don't fuck this up.
What a threat, by the way. What a threat.
When Rock was threatening to have that match at WrestleMania, we were all like, no, this is what's going to happen. That's why he's going to fuck it up. This is how you ignore and ruin all the things that you're building towards. And here we are again. And people weren't here for it. You know what I'm saying? Some people were here for it. Some people were here for your opinions. Mm-hmm. A lot of people weren't here for it. Someone said, by the name of Hector Serrano, said, it's The Rock. If you're going to a Journey or a Metallica concert, you want to hear the greatest hits. That's what The Rock is doing for us who grew up in the Attitude Era.
What'd I say?
You're in luck. I don't want to see his greatest hits. I also grew up in the Attitude Era, by the way.
Here's the thing. This isn't even a talk down on him. I believe he does listen to our show. But it's not even about... It's not even about none of that. Like, this isn't greatest hits. If this was greatest hits to you, then The Rock must have been trash back then. Because this isn't what The Rock was to me back then. I would have thought that for someone like The Rock, and we're kind of getting into kind of the territory of talking about SmackDown, which we're going to talk about later, but
I would have thought out of the way and then talk about the rest of the show. I don't want The Rock to take advantage of our great SmackDown conversation with the rest of the storylines.
Like, I would think, right? That someone who was so willing to put other people over would have the wherewithal to not kind of make this shit about himself. But this is probably just who he just become in the past couple of years, right?
Absolutely.
But I think that it's not like a metal. It's not even like music. It's not even like music, because here's the thing: Metallica goes to where they're needed. Let's just be real. They go to where they're needed. They go to where their fans are at the most. At the peak of where they're at. A lot of the kids that are cheering against The Rock right now are fans and people who did not come up with The Rock. Let's just be completely honest. They did not come up around The Rock back in the day. So essentially they are, you know, they're new to a lot of this stuff, and that's why they're kind of going up against Cody. And I've seen people, you know, kind of counter that with saying, look, The Rock is making Cody a bigger babyface. He's making Seth a bigger babyface. I'm not disagreeing with that. I just don't enjoy the way they're doing it. He's going about it in a way that's like, oh my God, like, how many gay jokes do we need?
Yeah.
I saw people defending the Roman Reigns crossdresser comment.
Yeah. I was like, that's kind of weird. Also, look at yourself. You're the worst dressed person in this four group right now. That's what I'm saying. Like, Roman, you got a hoodie and sweats on. Like, relax. Let's pull back a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Like, what? Like, also, Roman.
But that's I feel like that doesn't come. I mean, maybe it does. I was going to say that doesn't come without the influence of The Rock, but maybe it does. But everybody's been calling themselves drunkies and assholes on Twitter for the last 2 weeks because of The Rock. I feel like it's his influence. But no, it's certainly like, I feel like, especially given the way how SmackDown ended, right?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of ended without much time to really like effectively pace and get across the point that we were trying to get between all the entrances for everybody. And they just had Seth and Cody come out at the same time, which is a great idea. Between all the entrances, all the hullabaloo, all the back and forth and the jabs and stuff, it was like, all right, I know you were looking at the clock and you're like, it is 9:56.
Yes.
What are we doing here?
And that's what that's what really spurned my tweet the day after SmackDown ended, was the fact that like it
almost ruined the show.
It really did. It almost ruined the show. And it almost, it kind of takes you out of it, right? Because it's like you're kind of in, you're in WWE world. And then when The Rock comes out, you're in Rock world. You're in like whatever the fuck he's doing with that shit. You know what I'm saying? Right. And I think that this, it's not nearly as effective as like what we've been getting from this whole thing, which is Cody wins. We get the, you cheated. You know, how am I going to overcome this? You get all of this stuff. It's like you're adding another element. It's like a hat on a hat. It's like there's no reason to have this much thinking. Like I overthought it a couple weeks ago with the Seth thing, right? I was like, I'm worried about it. But it's like, oh no, they addressed it this week. You know what I'm saying? And then it's like, okay, so they're not going to fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not going to go that way. But I think that he's overcomplicated it to a point where if you want to talk about big business and stuff like that, we have proof that he's doing roughly about the same numbers that Roman was doing by himself, right? We've got proof that Roman's been doing those 2.5, 2.6, 2.7 numbers. Like, Rock isn't making that much bigger of a deal other than maybe, like, social media views, which Logan Paul was also doing. There's no reason that this should be, you know, predicated on the fact that this guy's bringing so much business. He's bringing lapsed fans' eyes, who, again, lapsed fans are a minority of a minority, because a lot of the lapsed fans are people that aren't going to watch week to week and they're going to tune out.
And to be honest, you know, they were probably going to come for WrestleMania anyway.
Exactly. Like with, lapsed fans, even without all of that. So, like, the math isn't mathing on that. But also, when you get to the actual promo, Meals, he meandered around that point forever, and I keep seeing people say, well, they thought it was funny, they thought they enjoyed it. As a watcher, I'm allowed to, like, I don't care what the fucking casual guy person thinks at that point. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's about my enjoyment of the whole thing. So if he's meandering around the point, like Mills, how long, like, how did you feel when he actually brought up the fact that Cody couldn't actually challenge for the title again if he lost on Sunday?
I mean, it was kind of like
at 9:57.
It was, everyone was fussing at that point. I was like, at this point, I was focusing on, like, I'm pretty sure he's supposed to hit him at this point. But we keep, like, we've got at least a little, like, 4 more minutes of talking and 4 more minutes of explaining things. And then I think at some point Seth shows up and just like, hey, man, fuck you, bro. You know what I'm saying?
He blisters him. I think that Seth is doing a fantastic, you're doing great, honey. You're doing great. I think Seth's doing a fantastic job with what he has.
Didn't even get the security involved. I was like, what was the security there for?
How is it? You know what?
You know me.
It was supposed to be a pull apart brawl. It was supposed to be a pull apart. The slap, I fully believe the slap was supposed to happen and it was supposed to be a pull apart. You've seen the video of the cameraman basically waving Rock away, like, we got to end this right now. So you've seen that. So I feel like there was supposed to be a pull apart brawl, and I think that Rock and the Cody interaction was supposed to happen, but everyone was supposed to fight and get pulled away. Because when you think about it, Meals, there are no, other than the press event, there are no clips of this feud at all that have any action in it at all. So when they try and sell this match, they have no actual footage to sell this match on. Because Rock took so long.
They got the end credits and the progressive, so I'm watching it now, progressive thing, and then the slap happens, and then SmackDown goes off the air. And I was like, damn, it's some Nitro shit. Like,
bro, he's fucking wilding. He's wilding. This is terrible. And the thing is that when, let's just get to the Roman part, where Roman has said maybe 15 sentences in the last month. And not only that, his promos are now starting to be whack. I'm like, what's going on?
You're talking about cross dressing and all this other stuff. I'm like, all right, relax. You're Roman Reigns. You've been champion for 1,000. Like, it doesn't, the aura doesn't feel the same anymore.
Yeah, he looks a little bitch made. I'm not gonna lie to y'all,
because it's no, you know that he's opening for The Rock, and that's kind of legitimately how it feels. It feels like he's opening for The Rock. The moment he comes out and he does the full entrance and everyone's on their feet, you know, okay, great. The Rock is coming out. And then Rock got his new entrance. And like Sasuke from Naruto. And he's just like flying out there, and it's this whole thing. Like, I think people, don't get me wrong, it feels like the priority is a tag match from a business standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. It almost feels like they're just, I said this in our Discord the other day. I said, at this point, it almost feels like Rock is just throwing the belt at Cody at this point and saying, take it, because we got other more important things to do.
I don't think they feel like Cody versus Roman is the real draw. I think they feel like the tag match is the draw, and that's why they're focusing so much on it. Which I feel like crazy. They feel like Saturday night is the night you want to see, and that will bring people over to Sunday night. So if we can get everyone to watch Saturday, they'll come back for Sunday. So I feel like it's so, like you said, yeah, the Cody Roman part of it has kind of been pushed off to the side, and luckily, you know, I mean, if Roman decided to show up on Monday, things might be a little bit better. Luckily, Seth and Drew still are able, even though that promo, we'll talk about that when we talk about the shows, but that promo also kind of low-key kind of was weird.
What promo?
The Seth and Drew.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's a, I don't know, man. This is a, I'm not as excited for Roman Cody too. It feels very after the fact. In fact, it is after the fact.
I am excited because I know what these two can do. So I'll give it to you there. I'm excited because I know what these two are capable of. They have a sneaky chemistry that was explored last year that I think they can build upon this year. Right.
Right.
I'm excited for the match. I think that when Rock is gone after this week and it's back to business, so to speak, we will get kind of like a better Cody Roman kind of thing. Like, I think it's absolutely possible there, but it's like, I would say in terms of just this tryout period of the Rock being on TV again, I'm not feeling it. And I think that I don't think I'm fucking wrong for saying this. I think a lot of people might feel that way because it's not beneficial for anyone right now. I think that it is very much hurting this program. And I don't see how anyone could not think that. Honestly, Mills.
I mean, I'm here with you. I can't see it. I mean, I can see why people wouldn't think it. It's because they love The Rock. I feel like it's very much distracting from the and they don't want
Cody much still. Why do they love him this much still?
It's my thing is that I feel like there doesn't need to be a partisan group regarding The Rock and Cody main events. It doesn't need to be that way. In fact, we're getting both. Which is why I feel like the people who are downplaying the Cody thing and up thing and the Rock thing, it's just so weird to me because we're getting both of them. We're all getting what we want and probably the best way of what we want.
Here's the thing. We're getting what we want and The Rock's getting what he wants. I think that's ultimately what it is.
And there's been rumors that The Rock, WrestleMania will not be the last time The Rock will be in action. In the near future. Just rumors. I've heard some rumors. That they plan to extend this a little bit. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see how this goes. We'll see how everything shakes off after Friday. Like, Friday should be, all the security out there, I'm like, we're getting a fight, right? Like, they're going to fight, right? And then, no. Sorry. SmackDown goes off the air. Fox 5
News. I would imagine we get that pull apart this week instead of what we're supposed to get last week. I would imagine.
Another set of big news this week. Kazuchika Okada. The man is a made man. He is the millions. Okada signs to AEW. You got the news last week. Made his debut. He's part of the Elite, which I'm not mad at that move, to be honest with you, because he's seemingly
not with the people who lose the most ratings per week is quite a choice.
But he's the most interesting part of the group immediately. They needed something interesting. The Bucks thing wasn't working. And he's not interesting in the fact like he's this great character or anything, because we haven't explored that yet. But he's the most interesting as like, this is the freshest thing they could have done. However, we heard some details on this deal. Man's making $4.5 million a year, 3-year deal. $4.5 million a year.
Get the bag.
$4.5 million a year. I'm... far be it from me, get your money. But from an AEW standpoint, in the great words of Cardi B, what was the reason?
Who were the last few people they signed?
Edge.
2024. He was every AEW signing in 2024. Okay.
Oh, in 2024. Okay. I
don't know. Here's the last few. Deonna Purrazzo. Brian Keith. They probably, he's probably making 70K a year. just from the look of this nigga. Queen Aminata.
She's Sorry. Making whatever the entrance thing is. Yeah.
Will Ospreay. Adam Copeland, Jay White, all back to back, by the way. Katsuyori Shibata, Nick Wayne, Mark Briscoe, Kota Ibushi, Taya Valkyrie, Aussie Open, Roderick Strong, Sky Blue, Billy Starks, Mariah May, Commander, The Righteous, Stu Grayson, Ric Flair, Nigel McGuinness, Ian Riccoboni, Kevin Kelly. That's from 2024 to 2023. Those are all.
Kevin Kelly got fired.
Well, yeah, he got fired. So that there you go, Brian Keith. Enjoy the extra 5K.
Not to mention this week's signing.
Oh, that's this week?
That's this week. This is big business this week.
Oh man.
Hey, I don't know AEW's books. I'm not gonna do no Meltzer math. I'm not gonna say if they're making this in this area and they're selling this amount of tickets, and if this is the merchandise and they're selling them at $35 a pop, that they must be making this. I'm not doing any of that. But I feel like, what's the old? You said this best. What's the ROI on this one? What's the return on investment?
What's the return on investment for Brian Keith? What's the return on investment for? I hate to keep picking on this nigga. The return on investment?
Just jump over him, please.
What's the return on investment for Jay White? What has it been? You know he getting a lot of money.
I mean, that's why he happy.
What's the return on investment for Adam Copeland?
Adam Copeland, who out of the gate showed you that it's not moving the needle. Literally, the first show was like 800K, and this week they went below 800K for the first time in a couple weeks. They have not also hyped it's the big business show, but they have not hyped the thing for Mercedes Moné, which I feel like is such a major. This is how you take L's, you know what I'm saying? This is the business acumen of like how you legitimately take L's. I don't know. This is. The value to me isn't really worth the $4.5 million, but also I don't know what everyone else was making. Maybe niggas is making more than $4.5 million.
I can assure you that Adam Copeland's making close. I can assure you that Monet's making close. I can assure you that Will Ospreay is probably making the same amount as Okada is, just based off of how much, you know, he loves, you know, New Japan and Will Ospreay. I can tell you right now, Kota Ibushi's probably getting a bag. I'll tell you right now. Roderick Strong is probably getting more of a bag than he had in WWE.
No way WWE says we're going to pay you more than this.
Yeah. With Okada, he's one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. So I'm not going to say he absolutely doesn't deserve that much money. I could tell you that if you were to, like, deserves and gets is two different things. Deserves and actually what you receive are two different things. So he could deserve that all he wants, but has he sold out SoFi two nights in a row? Has he sold out what they about to do in Philly two nights in a row? Has he sold out Wembley yet? Has he sold out any of these? No. So essentially you're banking on a big money prospect. Has he given you a million viewers on a show yet? I can assure you that has not happened yet.
They're going to say, well, he was the main event of Forbidden Door, which actually is one of our highest, you know, thrown shows. And blah, blah, blah.
That money that they got from that went right back into the pockets of their performers. and not the production or anything else. Like that, that can just assure you that was just pan fucking Miro's tab. Because you know he got a bag. Cesaro was, it was reported he was making, that WWE wouldn't pay him what he wanted to make. And he's getting that in AEW. So that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money.
There's a lot of money going around here.
I'm not trying to pocket watch, okay? But I can tell you right now. I'm just telling you right now, that don't seem sustainable regardless of how much money your daddy make. That don't seem sustainable to me.
It's feeling WCW coded. It's feeling large contracts. Just giving them out because you can't let them really go to the competition. The idea that Tony Khan could possibly lose out on Okada probably scared him shitless for nights.
But lose out on what? Let's say you lose out.
It's the value to him is like
true.
Okada matches, you know, the value to Tony Khan is different. It's different than us. We're looking at it from like relatable business things. It's like, all right, what are we really missing out on? Is the number going to change? Are we going to sell out more?
Let's say that he does lose out on Tony Khan. You got that extra money to keep one of your major talents that I know those contracts are coming up. You could have kept the Ricky Starks and done something with him. You could spend that
money on something else. I'm pretty sure he's resigned. Who the fuck cares?
Yeah, but it's like you could have put that money towards like something that is worthwhile. And now it's like you've got Okada coming right in, getting right in with the EVPs, having that issue, and then
he debuted on Collision, bro.
To be honest, like here's my thing: like I feel like them making Swerve a babyface is probably a really bad idea.
Why do you say that?
Look at the babyfaces that they have. Look at every baby face they've ever had and what happens to them. They lose. They get made to look like idiots. They only have one pure baby face in our company, and that's Orange Cassidy. You should not be a baby face in AEW. You do not end up being cool as a baby face there. They don't know how to book baby faces, which is weird, Meals, because WWE did not know how to book baby faces for years, nearly 10. And now they got like five of the biggest baby faces in the world. AEW's not a babyface company. Swerve baby facing himself probably was a bad idea. But again, you could have done a lot.
The dance, niggas. Niggas like to jig.
Yeah, there's a lot of jigs going on in there.
The Okada thing is crazy, man. Not that it's so crazy that he's getting all that money, but it feels like if AEW is paying these people this amount, I'm looking, if I'm hired anywhere else, if I'm hired in AEW at the beginning, stuff like that, I'm like, I at least got to be making at least a mil. Easily. Like,
it's not sustainable. For the TV time that these people, like some of these people have on a weekly basis, sometimes they don't even pop up in the week. It doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense.
I think Darby Allin's about to go climb Mount Everest. He might die. And I guarantee they will still pay him out of his contract. Oh, we're going to pay him for his family and stuff like that. Like, realistically, if I was working a job, which I currently don't, and I said, I'm going on vacation for 2 weeks to climb Mount Everest, my job might be like, what the fuck are you doing? Especially if I'm getting hundreds of thousands of dollars invested in me and millions of dollars.
It ain't like he like going to get married. He's going to do something that he potentially die doing. And you know, I guess.
Yeah, it is what it is. JR also re-signed a new deal. He's got a 1-year deal. I'm like, goddamn, bro. No offense. Hang it up, JR. Become a podcaster, man. Podcast full time. It's easy.
You don't got
especially. No, he ain't got the cornet in him. No,
yeah, he don't got the corny driving in him, bro. There's only one nigga that can go 4 hours a week. At that age.
Can I hit all these small news points and then we head over to Patreon?
Yeah.
We talked about it earlier. Kevin Kelly was fired. According to PW Torch, Kelly is not gone from the company, and the recent series of divisive social media posts were directly responsible for his release. So Brian Danielson is firing niggas.
The woke mob finally got him. They took him down.
Last weekend, Kelly accused fellow AEW commentator Ian Riccobucci of libel, as well as damaging his career and standing in the industry across several posts on his X account. The accusations stem from comments Riccoboni made on a Discord server in August last year in relation to Kelly promoting a movie which, with what is understood to be equivalent to QAnon conspiracy theories. Oh my God. Kevin Kelly? Kyrie Irving? What the fuck?
Yes. He's been doing it for years. I'm shocked that he stayed, he was in the company that long. He would just do it openly. He'd do it right after shows. He didn't give a shit.
That's wild as fuck. So they got him out of here for social media posts. Ian Riccoboni, who I actually prefer over Kevin Kelly anyway, hopefully still has a job. Who knows? So Kevin Kelly's out. Sammy Guevara's suspension. The suspension committee, according to Wrestling Observer Newsletter, made the decision to suspend Guevara as he did not follow concussion protocol during the match with Hardy. Apparently he was told to go home, which means like pin him. And the 30-year-old proceeded to have Hardy attempt to twist the fate, only for him to counter it into his GTH finisher before pinning Hardy. The feeling backstage is said to have that been Guevara should have ended the match straight away if it was feared that Hardy was concussed and should not have had him take his finisher, which consists of a knee strike to the head. Given the circumstances, they suspended him. Does that change our thoughts?
No, because I feel like the ref should have been suspended too.
You should really just stop the match. Yeah. Like, literally, there's nothing to the doctor getting in the ring, seeing that this man can't compete, and literally throwing up the X and the match stops. Exactly. Especially if Guevara is going to win.
Yeah, like, it makes no sense to do that. But I think this is all part of something I learned this week on TikTok. This is all part of a large phenomenon known as the humiliation ritual. And I feel like Jeff Hardy was a part of that as well.
Ooh. You know, people saying John Cena was a part of that.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of, I think The Rock is a part of a larger humiliation ritual that's happening week to week on weekly TV as well. Roman Reigns, part of this humiliation ritual as well. It's the Illuminati. They're in them rooms. They're in them rooms with them people. So that's what happens when you do that.
Cody Rhodes is reportedly a big part of WWE's new deal with a sponsor.
Whiskey
vodka.
This is the first. Oh yeah, vodka. I thought it was whiskey. Isn't that kind of crazy? They kind of going into TKO, kind of working.
We need Cody on that. We need Cody on that. Need him to be drinking it. Need them to be celebrating and popping Wheatley vodkas after he wins the title.
You can see like him in the commercial, like a smooth taste with an unmistakable look.
I'm gonna finish this story right here. You know what I'm saying?
Story with a spirit.
Yo, why don't we have a jobs? Oh my God. AEW star Mercedes Moné guarantees eventual WWE return in deleted podcast clip. Which is nuts. By the way, sidebar. Her not debuting yet, not being announced to debut yet, but doing a podcast is kind of nuts. It kind of like, it works in opposite of maybe how communications is supposed to work with these kind of things. How promotions is supposed to work with these kind of things. You do the podcast after you debut. You don't do the podcast the week before you debut. And it's like, maybe something will happen in the next week or so. I don't know.
We know how hard it was to get talent, or how hard it continues to be to get talent on our shows, like sometimes, right?
Yeah.
So it seems like there's no type of talk between her and AEW's PR, and she's just kind of doing things. Also doing a pod.
Which is weird because it's WWE's old PR.
Exactly.
The one who would not let us have these people on our show.
So, oh, he's over there now?
Adam, yes.
He's in AEW now?
He is AEW, yes. That is that. It's literally the same guy. Wow. That's why I don't even bother.
You can't work for WB, nigga. Yeah, to stick to wrestling, nigga. Anyway, it just seems to me that there's no conversation and she's kind of flying off the handle. Another thing that's not kind of brought up is that she's doing a show with somebody who used to host a WWE show not too long ago. And I was just like, I would just think that would be like a no-go at that point. If I'm even seeing the optics are too crazy. She allegedly says some shit on there that was supposed to be cut and ends up making it into a clip. It's since been taken off, but I mean, the internet's forever. People have saved that clip of her just saying, hey, I'm going to go back one day.
Yeah, it might be back one day. You know, never say never.
I think that in a world where like these people are like super media trained, like especially like from the company she used to be at, the fact that she's the least media trained of all of them is hilarious to me.
She's the media to herself. Like, it's not. She's very like. She turns on the gimmick and then turns it off, rarely, which is why it's kind of so hard to. I won't say anything more. But if you enjoyed it, shout out to you. She says, I know I'm going to be back there in WWE one day, so it's not over. Like I said, I have a lot of unfinished business in wrestling and a lot of places. So, you know.
Yeah.
Naomi Bailey's over there. There's no doubt she will be back. But until then, she's doing her bid. In the AEW.
Prison.
Miro and Lana split.
Hate to see it.
Look like a. To be honest with you, I've seen Total Divas enough to know it probably was going to work long term. But
shout out to him. He moved back to
Bulgaria. Apparently, you can do that.
So how are you going to get to work?
He said, "Who said anything about working, nigga? I ain't working months."
That's crazy.
Last bit of news. Yesterday, a source called Front Office Sports, an article by, it was a John Pollock and Brandon Thurston and Tim Marchman, named both Nick Khan and COO Brad Blum as corporate officers number one and corporate officer number two in the sex trafficking lawsuit. In January, that was pretty much revealed that, you know, implicated Vince McMahon and John Laurinaitis of sexual assault and sexual trafficking. However, it notes in the thing, it says in the little
editor note,
yeah, a little subhead. Neither Khan nor Blum is alleged to have participated or known of any or about abuse in any kind.
That's not how it came out, though.
That's not how it was
sold to us.
Yeah. Essentially, it was like, but how it popped up on Twitter is like, hey, they've been revealed as key figures in this. And I guess the implication is that they were a part of this entire thing. That's kind of like how it's sold. That's what you do when you put these two names next to Vince McMahon's sex trafficking suit. What are your kind of thoughts on like how this was put out?
It's corny.
What it says.
I felt like the reporting of that was just basically them.
Is it the same witch hunting that you kind of see on Twitter? Do you feel like?
Yeah, essentially, because you know what you're doing.
From a more journalistic standpoint, yeah.
It's not even journalistic. It's like they got it from independent. They got it from basically putting two and two and making it four and getting it from independent sources that they don't name. So like that's how they got the information, which, okay, fair. You're not going to give your sources up. I get it. But I think that it was extremely kind of like irresponsible to put the article out with those names without the context whatsoever. because now it's like, again, you're trying to get kind of Vince's muck on these people. And I think that that's dangerous. That's why they had to do that, the editor's notes, because that could be legally dangerous and compromise a lot of things too, because you're making it seem like these people knew about it. And you had to go back and say that they didn't know about it, right?
Right.
So now it's like you got people, but then the rollout, because the thing is like no one really looks at the walk back, right? They always look at the first edit, the first draft of it. So and then I was like, oh, I knew it. I knew that they knew. Or you'll get, oh, I thought it was Triple H. Why wasn't somebody? Why wasn't it Triple H? Why do you want it to be?
Yeah.
If y'all want to see the good in people, why can't you accept the well, maybe you don't want to see the good in people. I don't know what these people want anymore. I think that it's nasty, bro. It's nasty.
WWE made a statement yesterday. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. Say the statement because they cleared it themselves.
Yeah, WWE made a statement. It says WWE takes Miss Grant's allegations very seriously and has no tolerance for any physical abuse or unwanted physical contact. Neither Nick Khan nor Brad Blum, prior to the lawsuit being filed on January 25th, 2024, were aware of any allegation by Miss Grant that she was the victim of abuse or unwanted physical contact, nor does the complaint allege that either had knowledge of such.
Which is the truth. And it goes the same for whether you want to believe, whether you like it or not. Same goes for the unnamed UFC champion. Same goes for them.
It's just, yeah, it's kind of...
defending Vince here. Like, nobody is. Like, it's all about the other people.
Shout out to Tim Marshman, who under the article tweet just says, if you're a current or former WWE employee who's witnessed experience sexual misconduct or violence, DMs are open and I'm on Signal at I was like, what?
Ambulance
essentially is like, yeah, if you want me to report some other shit, just, you know, fill me in. It's kind of like I don't know if people have actual care or feelings for the victims, or more so just like we know they're there, part of it.
I mean, it goes right back to like the Nick Hausman shit from a couple months ago too, right? It just seems icky. You know what I'm saying? Like it's things are just handled in a different way in other sports or other instances. Like, was it this nasty with like the Weinstein shit? I don't remember. It happened so long ago, but I'm not a fan of the way that was reported at all. I'm not a fan of the way it was reported. I'm not a fan of the reactions to it of people who like. Are just really, they're not horny to get justice for her. They're horny to get people in trouble is what it seems like, right?
They want to see pretty much everything burn down. Yeah. And want their own, want to believe because they like either AEW more or they don't like Triple H, that he has to be part of this entire ordeal as well.
Right. The Triple H thing to me is still very weird and, I don't get it. I don't know what he did to people that have them this mad. Are they still upset that he had the title that long in 2004? Is that really what it is?
They're upset because WWE is winning. I honestly don't even know.
Yeah, like winning or not, like this isn't something that you glorify and you kind of get points off of. Like, there's no points off of this. Like, I think I even said it like in the article, like Nick Khan was actually hired like after that relationship had already started. So it was kind of impossible for him to know the context of everything going on with Miss Grant, other than the fact that he had to take care of things for her. You know what I'm saying? Like, so he was one of the people named, but the context that he had was not there. He didn't know, like, for all he knew, it was like, you know, a relationship that was, extramarital that Vince was having. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the extent of what these people knew. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So like, no one's alleging that they did anything wrong. They're not asking them to subpoena. They're not asking them to be witnesses or anything like that right now. So like, when it came out, I saw people just going so crazy, like, time to fire Nick Khan. Da, da, da. I'm like, bro, he is not going nowhere, bro. the only time he's going to go somewhere is if he chooses to go somewhere himself. Like, that's really just what it is. I really don't get it. Again, like, my heart goes out to Miss Grant. get that. I hope she gets that bag, and I hope she gets that healing. But, you know,
internet's doing some crazy shit.
They're always doing crazy shit. They're always doing crazy shit. But yeah.
Final bit of news before we head over to Patreon. SummerSlam's coming to Cleveland.
Fire.
Hey, man. Shout out to A Plus, the mayor. Plusomania, you know, Summer Plus, SummerSlam Plus.
Plusomania.
Plusomania, you know what I'm saying? We got to have him on the show. We got to know how he's treating WWE in the city before.
Logan Paul announced this. And I think that you got to do Logan versus Cody. I think you got to do it. I think that's it. I would imagine Punk will be back at that point. You can do your big Punk match there. You can do Punk versus Drew. They've done that. I honestly feel like Punk might come back earlier than we think. To be honest,
he's been working. Yeah. Between him, he need to be on the Charlotte plan. You seen Charlotte?
What they say? They said that it would take like 6 months. So probably July is probably when he'll be back. So he'll be back really soon.
Yeah, I think so.
You do your Punk match there. You could do your little shitty Roman Rock match. I'm gonna go pee during that. Do that then. I think that that SummerSlam has the potential to be Mania level in a way that last year's wasn't. And we wanted.
Let me tell you something. All these events are Mania level at this point. To be real with you, what WWE has been doing over the last number of years is that we just doing stadiums now. Mm-hmm. Everything is in a stadium. We're gonna get at some point. We're gonna hit. It'll be wild if we get this, but at some point we might get all 12 pay per views are in some sort of stadium. If they can pull it off, who knows? If they can pull it off, who knows? We should probably head over to Patreon.
Talk about
weekly shows this week.
We should. Thank you guys for listening. As always, I think me and Mills are gonna be doing sort of watching. We're gonna be watching something soon.
We can watch some stuff. We're gonna be watching some stuff.
People really liked our last Mania ratings, the last 10 Manias, last 9 Manias ratings.
I see that. So we're gonna have to do some stuff. I'm halfway through 30. I haven't finished yet. I keep getting up to do stuff. What do you want me to do?
Oh, I would have thought you would have watched it in one go since you loved it so much.
I have a Peacock with the commercials now, so the commercials take me out of it.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's time to pee. Let me go turn this off.
Man. All right. Well, our media coverage is going to ramp up in the next couple of weeks, so make sure you stay tuned to that. Make sure you join our Patreon to get these shows early and to get the second parts of these shows that actually review the weekly Raw and SmackDowns and maybe a little bit of NXT and AEW some week. So thank you all for listening. We appreciate you for the patronage. And for Meals, I'm Justin. We'll see you guys next week on The A Show. Peace.